Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6, 33 and 34.
And nearly 2,000 years have passed under the bridge of time since those words we just read were first spoken. It's odd, but the next generation of preachers will say it's been 2,000 years. But still we're saying it's been almost 2,000 years. A lot's changed since then. But what matters most and what is most important to the text we just read hasn't changed at all. Well, we have more comfortable buildings to be in, more luxury, more comfort. We have more technology. We have better understanding of a lot of matters of science. All those externals don't really make a difference, though, to what Jesus is speaking of here. And that is the anxiety, the worry, the angst that is within us. And in that regard, we really haven't changed much. In 2021, nearly now 2022, and all those years back to Jesus' day in the flesh, we are no different, no better than were they. In fact, in many respects, we may be a bit worse in terms of our worry than they were. You think about the lives they lived, those people Jesus spoke these words to. He told them, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom and I'll give you all these things you might be worried about. And when you look at the lives that they were leading, you see that they weren't living in comfort. They weren't living in luxury. They were living with real physical problems. Many of them didn't know where the next meal was coming from. When Jesus fed the thousands in John chapter 6 with the loaves and the fishes, that wasn't just a grand gesture. They needed some food. And the next day, when they clamored for more, it wasn't just that they wanted a free meal. Many of them were hungry. And Jesus told them about himself as the bread of life. The fact is, those that Jesus spoke these words warning about worry to, they, we might say, from our perspective, had a lot to worry about. Where's the next meal coming from? What's the next illness that'll take someone in our family? What marauder's going to come and destroy our village? And here we are all these centuries later, and we complain about the world situation, and we argue about the local and national a culture of political unrest and sometimes corruption. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to fuss about, a lot to fume about, a lot to worry about, but really, compared to them, we don't have much to complain or worry about. And yet, it's odd and interesting that from our plenty, we may worry more than they worried from their lack. And that's to our shame. But regardless of the comparison of us and them, one thing is for sure, and that is that people really haven't changed that much, and I suppose they never have, and they surely never will. We just are who we are from the inside out. God didn't refer to us as lions, but as sheep. And as sheep are timid and fearful creatures, so we are, by our practice and nature, timid and fearful creatures. And yet we should know something that the sheep doesn't. Even though the sheep follows the shepherd's voice, we sometimes don't. But we should know better than even the sheep know, because we know that we serve a God who made us, who loves us, and has promised, regardless what happens in our lives, to take care of us. Casting all your care upon Him, the Bible says, He cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So says Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is our rock and protector, a very present help in trouble, in the words of Psalm 46 and verse 1. As Paul said in Romans 8, if God be with us, who can be against us? Everything we need, we have from God. And yet, with all of that still, like those Jesus spoke these words to, we have this recurring, this nagging problem of anxiety, of worry. And they worried about, you notice the text, the verses just before those we just read together, they were worried about what they might eat, what they might drink, what they might wear by way of clothing. And we may not worry about those things particularly like they did, but we still worry about physical matters like having enough to get by on, having enough to get what we want, and not having the cable shut down or somebody take our cell phones away, or whether we have retirement enough to give ourselves a posh end to life. But regardless what we're worrying about, we still worry as they worried, and we still then receive the same chastening of the Lord as they did when He says, O you of little faith. I say that because one thing we know from now, and especially from the last year or two, and we've come to learn it the hard way, is that the future is not just partially unpredictable, it is wholly unpredictable. And it's amazing that we had to be reminded of that by the mere sheer force of the facts. We should have known that all along. That's the way life has always worked. The future is unknown. It's unpredictable. And that's what Jesus says here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And oddly enough, the Bible speaks of tomorrow with the warning we shouldn't be proud about it or boast about it, nor should we, as the text here says, worry about it or be anxious about it. The wise man Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what tomorrow may bring. And that's true. As the rich farmer in Luke 12 showed us in Jesus' story, he had everything, much goods laid up for many years. He'd eat and drink and be merry. And yet that very night his soul was required of him, and God called him a fool. Or as another fool in James 4, who said, I'll go into such a city and I'll buy and sell and get gain there. And of course he's reminded that you don't know what tomorrow may bring. You should say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. We shouldn't boast about tomorrow, but neither should we worry about it, and for the same reason. The reason we don't boast about it is because we don't know about it. And the reason we don't worry about it is because we don't know about it. You don't rejoice in victories you haven't won yet. Tomorrow hasn't come. And you don't beat yourself over losses you haven't experienced yet, because tomorrow hasn't happened yet. You can't live tomorrow, today, except in your mind, and that's where the problem lies. You can live tomorrow, today, all you want to in your mind. It'll tear you up. rip you apart, and sometimes destroy both your life and your family if you try to live tomorrow today. And Jesus says, don't do that. There's enough difficulty, enough evil, enough problems tomorrow and today that you need not bring tomorrow's into today. Live one day at a time. Yes, life is unpredictable. Things have happened the last couple of years and even this last year of 2021 that this time last year we could have never, ever predicted. Some good, some terribly, life-changingly difficult and upsetting. And if we had had a talk this time last year as we were bringing to a close 2020 and looking into 2021, a lot of things, in fact, I'd say most things that happened, wouldn't have been on our radar. We wouldn't have thought possible. We wouldn't have thought at all that would happen to us or ours. But life happened. And we were taught we needed teaching. We were taught that life is unpredictable and the future is uncertain. Now, that's all this text said, was just that you don't know what's going to happen next. Practically speaking, that'd be enough. It'd be a philosophical truth. You just don't know what's going to happen next. It's all unpredictable. But that's not the point or purpose of this text in Matthew 6. That's the truth of the matter, but beyond the truth is this. What happens to us and within us depends less on what happens today or tomorrow around us, and more about the focus we have today on what matters most to us. The key verse of all of this section of Scripture, and it begins back in the 19th verse, and the verses following about having treasure not on earth but in heaven, and having eyesight that's clear and focused and not diseased, and serving one master, not trying to serve two at one time. And now this, we've just read about worry and how we shouldn't be anxious about what we'll eat or drink or put on by way of clothing. Remembering that God takes care of the birds and takes care of the lilies of the field, both lesser than we are, won't God take care of us, those of us with so little faith as seen by our worry? All of that is to build up what Christ says in verse 33. But a word that means, on the other hand. You can do that. You can worry. You can put your treasures on earth. You can live your lives trying to look at the world and heaven at one time and not having clear vision. You can try to serve two masters. You can try that way of living. You can live a life of worry. But, on the other hand, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things you're otherwise worried about, they'll be added to you. Now, the kingdom of God is that realm in which God reigns. In this world right now, it's the church. And His righteousness is simply a biblical way of describing our being right with God. What should come first in our lives is God's will, not ours. And Jesus had taught that before. Remember His model prayer in this same chapter of Matthew, Matthew 6. Earlier on, He says in the prayer He teaches others to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, as we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, we're seeking first, of course, His will. His will be done. Yes, problems come, and unpredictable ability of life is a constant focus that we need to be aware of. But what matters most is not these externals, which we cannot control. What matters most is what we focus on and what matters most to us. And when we adjust our focus, so much of everything else just falls nicely and neatly into place. Life is a lot like, and you can take this example too far, I know, and don't. But life is like a wet bar of soap. Ever find yourself in the shower and you grab that wet bar of soap and you grab it a little too tight, and here it is, it slips away, and you got to reach down and pick it up. And you grab it too tight and it slips away, you got to reach down and pick it up. And the way you handle that wet bar of soap is to hold it a little gingerly, a little lightly, so it doesn't slip away. Life is like that. Sometimes in our worrying, we're holding on so tight to life, and especially a future that hasn't happened yet. What might happen? What could happen? What's going to happen next? How will I deal with it? What will I do about it? We hang on to life so tightly that, like that bar of soap, the joy of it just slips away. The peace that God wants for us just slips away. The real purpose of life itself just slips away. You loosen up a bit on how you hold on to life and focus less upon what you want and what might happen to you and more about what matters to God and what His will is. And you find that the joy you wanted, the peace you've needed, the happiness you've sought for, it's been there all along. The problem's not the soap, it's you and your grip. The problem's not life, it's us and how tightly in worry we hang on to it. Well, let go. Didn't Jesus say, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? Different words, same idea as here. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Take your focus off yourself and the perfect future you think you've got for yourself, that nothing can change, it'll all go wrong. Take your mind off that, your attention away from that, and instead, what does God want? What does the Bible teach? What is God's will? What's best for Him and those around me? And what Jesus says next is a wonderful, almost a magical thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you've known me long, you know I'm not a Greek expert. I don't pretend to be. I can muddle through the alphabet and I can deal with the language somewhat and I can read books that talk about it, but I don't know in any great detail the intricacies of the Greek language. But I understand from those who know more than I do that this phrase, shall be added unto you, is an interesting turn of phrase for that time and that language. It really meant to add on top of. It's kind of like when we go shopping, and now I think it's Aldi. If you go there, this may not work. But if you go to stores like Reeser's and Walmart and other places, you buy your stuff. And how much do you pay for those plastic bags or those paper bags? Well, they're free. Well, I know they're built into everything. Don't get into that. But in terms of what other... Somebody comes in and just carries an item out. The next person after him comes in and puts that same item in a bag. They pay the same amount. For all intents and purposes, the bag is free. It's just thrown in on top. Kind of like a baker's dozen. That used to be a big thing with... Oh, donuts. Here you've got your donuts and you've got 12 of them, and they say, well, you know what? Let's just put in an extra, call it a baker's dozen. 13. You pay for 12, you get 13. The 13th is just thrown in. Well, they had those same ideas in commerce in the days of Jesus. In fact, this phrase was a figure of speech describing that very thing I've just been talking about, where a business deal would take place, and on top of, to sweeten the deal, not as part of the deal, they'll just put this in on top. All this shall be added unto you. Which is interesting from two perspectives and in two respects. First of all these things we're worried about are just extras. They're not, it's like we spend our life worried about the paper bag and not the produce inside it. Everything we're now worried about, God can just throw it in extra. If you put Him first, now you spend your life worrying about all of it, and like that bar of soap, it can slip away from you. But you take your mind off of it and put it on God, and you'll find that all these things you're otherwise worried about just added on top. And so yes, these things we're worried about, they are just extras to begin with. But more importantly, in the second aspect, we know that God will keep His promises in this respect. Now, that means what we need. Perhaps not what we want, what we imagine, what we wish for, what we in our dreams conjure up in our minds, but what we need, God will supply. And I can prove that to you right now. You might be thinking future tense. Well, I don't see it. Well, think of past tense and I'll prove it. The reason you're here right now, as you are here right now, in the position you are in right now, and as bad as you think your position is, you're able to be here right now as you are. And why? Because to this point, in some way, by some means, you've been taken care of. You've gotten here. We sometimes, in our fear of the future, forget the facts of the past. We've been taken care of. We have gotten to where we are. And I promise you, all along the way, there were days we worried. There were nights we stayed awake anxious about what tomorrow might bring, but somehow we've gotten to here right now at the end of 2021. We're here and we realize, well, those worries of the past, they were kind of silly because I'm here anyway. Things somehow worked out. We forget about that. We think, well, that may be true, but what about tomorrow? What might happen next? And God, in Jesus Christ, His Son, promises here, you put the kingdom first. You put righteousness, God's will, first. And everything you need, it'll be added to you. Just don't worry about it. Now, I say this at the end of the year. This will be the last sermon I preach in 2021. At least of any substance. I'll have a few words tonight at the singing, but forget about those. Most people will. And so as we close out this year of 2021, let me remind myself, as I remind you, that we need not fear. We need not waste our time and minds and worry. Things will work out. If we focus on what we should focus on and put God first above all else, it'll be fine. He'll take care of us. And in everything, regardless what happens, we can cast all our cares on Him. He cares for us. My friend, if you're here this morning and outside the body of Christ, please change that. In faith in Christ, repent of your sins, confess that faith and be baptized. Or as a child of God, if you've strayed and wandered away and need to come back, what better time than now to do so and come as together we stand and sing.